celebrate the first Sunday after Christmas. You know, the church really has it right. In society, we look forward to one special day. It becomes a bank holiday, becomes a day off from work for many of us, and for others, it's just one more day. But we dress it up with special music, we exchange gifts, we do all kinds of things to mark Christmas Day. And then it seems strange that the very next day, the entire thing vaporizes. It all sort of disappears into thin air. The radio stations that we've been listening to for the last few weeks with Christmas music suddenly are back to their normal programming. The stores have already begun to take down their Christmas decorations and begin to decorate for the next feast that they want to celebrate, whether it be Valentine's Day or St. Patrick's Day, they're already moving forward. But the church is just the opposite. Oh, we have a very long season of preparation. For Christmas, we call it Advent. And yet it isn't Christmas that we're really contemplating during Advent. And then suddenly there it is. The big day is here, as if it came from nowhere. And so we take that wonderful day and the truth and all that is in it, and we begin to celebrate for day upon day upon day, until, quite frankly, we probably grow a little tired of celebrating. And that's good. That's the way it ought to be. It's a wonderful phrase in today's gospel lesson that we heard. Grace upon grace. That phrase has always meant something to me, because it talks about the abundance of God. Sometimes we get an image of God as a hoary old man, a man with a lot of white hair and a long beard, sitting upon a majestic throne in a faraway place. And we get that from the descriptions like we heard from the prophet Isaiah today, where obviously he has all the trappings of being a regal monarch or an emperor. But that's really not God. That may be an image that we have, and it's a good image to keep in mind, but that's not the reality of God. The reality of God is not someone who sits in a faraway place and expects us to come and grovel in front of him. Nor is our God any kind of God that expects us to acknowledge him as some sort of imperial, regal, majestic entity. Rather, the mystery of what we celebrate now is that our God is not in a faraway heaven, but rather our God has come to us and lives among us and lives with us. That's another phrase in today's gospel lesson. That he pitched his tent among us. That's what the language really means when we say, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Dwelling among us means that he was with us in our neighborhoods, on our streets, in our marketplaces, in our schools, in our playgrounds, everywhere where we can be, our God is there. Not as some ephemeral spiritual idea, but in real flesh and blood in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's where that wonderful phrase, grace upon grace, comes in. Because it isn't as Jesus ascended back to the Father in heaven that suddenly we're back to normal. But rather, John makes it very clear that he sent the Spirit of life to dwell in us. And because of that, we ourselves have become sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are God's children. And in the same way that Jesus came to dwell among us and brought to us the very reality of God, the one who created everything that is, Without him, nothing came into being, we are told. That this God lives in our homes, in our schools, in the places we work, on the streets, in the hospitals, in the nursing homes. No matter where we find human life, we find the light that is God. And that light, we are told, dwells in the hearts of men. Men and women, we are all children of God. What we need to do is allow ourselves to be seen. That's the mystery of Jesus' life that we contemplate all through the Gospels. How Jesus continually revealed God, how Jesus continually showed God to us, not so much and how we get there, but in the way we live. And that, in fact, we have become, in Christ, God's children. It's another aspect of this wonderful gospel lesson. When we hear about the Word, and the Word became flesh, we begin to understand that Jesus is truly the Son of God. We have a phrase for that kind of thing in our society, at least in our family. When someone is acting just like one of their parents, particularly a son of their father, they say he's a chip off the old block. As if what was contained in that original block of stone is now completely contained in a small chip that was taken out of it. Because the reality is that we don't remain small. In fact, we begin to grow into a new block, as it were. And we ourselves generate new chips in the world. And it is in that way in which the life of God is multiplied. And therein is the abundance of God. Because God has given us his very being, his very self, in our hearts, in our minds, in the fiber of our souls, even our bodies. Because God was made flesh. Everything then around us radiates with the reality of God. That's an important thing for us to think on in these days, particularly these trying days, as we become worn down week after week after week and month after month with what seems to be only worse news about the impact of the pandemic on our society and on our friends and our family. And even if we have not become ill with it, it still has a great impact on us as we see others suffer, as we feel for those who are our frontline workers, who give of themselves so totally and so completely. And there is only so much to give that we fear that they may become burnt out, worn away. And that's where this becomes important. Because in this Spirit of God, we find an immense abundance. That's what we see in the people who care for the sick. They find it deep within themselves to pick themselves up and to keep going, even when the going is very tough and very hard. How then can we not see joy in this? How then can we not see that the very capacity to do such things comes to us from God? It is a grace of God, and grace is poured out upon grace. God's abundant life is continually being poured out. There is no exhausting God's life. And that is what we give thanks for this day. As we come to the Holy Eucharist, to the Holy Table, to give thanks again to God for the gift of Jesus, his Son, Word made flesh and dwelling among us, not in a faraway place so long ago, but here and now, in this place, right here, in our homes, in our schools, in our workplaces, in the hospitals and nursing homes, on the streets. God is with us. And it is there that this grace is poured out upon us. So indeed, let us be joyful as we continue to celebrate this Christmas, this time when Jesus becomes one of us. Let us look around and see how this joy can be spread to others by the way we talk, by our words, and what we do by our actions. Let that presence be felt. Allow others to see us, ourselves, as chips off the old block, where the face of Christ becomes evident in us, and through us, and through the Spirit that lives within, grace follows upon grace, and the earth is filled with the Spirit of God.